Well, praise God for a morning filled with testimonies and stories attesting to God's goodness of what he's doing in our lives, what he's doing in our bodies, how he's healing, how he's setting us free, stories of his faithfulness. We're so glad. Aren't you glad to be gathered with a group of people that have God stories? Amen? For real. I love your stories. I love that you're pursuing the Lord and that the Lord is doing things in your life. Hey, listen to me for a second. You're zoned out. Come on, bring it back. Pay attention to me. Don't you love gathering with people that you know someone's going to have a God story from this week? I don't know if you understand what a gift that is. If we're all seeking the Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we show up on Sunday to let it overflow, whoo, right? And you just get to hear, rub shoulders, you get to hear these God stories, these testimonies, this fresh manna, freshness of what God is doing. That is a gift. Thank you for your gift of pursuing the Lord outside of this hour or two that we're gathered here. Thank you for seeking the Lord and seeking his face so that when we show up here, we've got stories of his goodness and we can share testimonies of the power of God in our lives. Amen? That's faith building, man. That just creates this atmosphere where God can show up. God can do what he wants to do. We are still going through 2 Peter. And we're in chapter 1. We haven't made it past verses 3 and 4 yet. And it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. 2 weeks ago, the last time that I preached here, we spent some time on the promises of God. And we just went through a bunch of the places where it's talking about the promises of God and how God would put that forth and he's not a liar and all that kind of stuff. And just kind of we ended with last time just knowing that the promises of God are one of the ways that God moves. It's one of the ways that we participate in his divine nature. So we'll dig in a little bit more this time. I love this quote from Thomas Brooks. He says, Satan promises, maybe this resonates with some of you who walked in the world for a while. Satan, or have ever been tempted, or have ever had a bad week. Satan promises the best, but he pays with the worst. He promises honor, he pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure, and he pays with pain. He promises profit, and he pays with loss. He promises life, and he pays with death. But God pays as he promises. All his payments are made in pure gold. I love it. Amen, amen, amen. Those are some good places to say amen. Unlike my wife last week, right? Those are good places to say amen. D.L. Moody, you heard of him before? I've had many of his quotes before. He said this, God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it. And as Stephen said last week in a masterful sermon, he said, patience quietly awaits it. And I love Stephen, his message last week, and just one of the keys in attaining the promises of God is the patience. Patience. It's a word we love to hate, isn't it? And yet, it's part of God's nature and character. It's good. It's faithful. It's patient. It's enduring. So, I've got two words for you guys today. Yes, and the word amen. Two very simple words. One of them is just I suppose you'd call it a secular word. It's just not necessarily a church word. Yes, we've all known the word yes. The opposite of that is no. We learn that one when we're two. No, no, no. And the other word's kind of a church word. It's amen. You guys know amen, right? It's the thing you say when you're done praying, right? In Jesus' name, amen. Right? It's the word that it's in the Bible. We know it's kind of like the end of our prayers. We're going to focus on two words today, yes and amen. Because 2 weeks ago, we talked about the promises of God. And last week, Stephen talked about the promises of God and having patience for the promises of God. And so today, I want to bring you to a verse in 2 Corinthians. And it's a verse that I learned when I first got saved, and I memorized it, and I kind of knew what it meant, and I've always quoted it, and I've said it, and some of you will recognize it. I'm going to have it in two different versions here to start with. But in the CSB, it says, it's 2 Corinthians 1:20, for every one of God's promises is what? Yes, in him. Therefore, through him, through Jesus, we also say what? Amen. To the, you guys are really responsive today. I may pull a muscle or something. This is really good. We say amen to the glory of God. I'll give that same verse in a different version. In the NIV version, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let's just pick this apart a little bit today, because we're talking about the promises of God. This is a faith-filled church. We believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about these promises of God. So the first part of this says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Do you guys know what yes means? Yes. It just means yes. It means the opposite of no. It means, right? Sure. It's the green light. Yep. I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's talking about the promises of God. And he's talking about the promises of God in Christ. That in Christ, the promises of God are yes. And now, we talked about grace a while back. There's can't remember the term for it. It doesn't matter. But a grace that, it's like the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. I just about had it. Doesn't matter. But it's like grace kind of for everyone. Yep. There's that kind of grace, which is distinctly and scripturally different from the grace that God shows us. Now, there is a grace of God, common grace it's called. It's called common grace. And that's why, you know, whatever. Just God shows up, but it's not someone that has a relationship with Jesus. It's not someone that is walking in the promises of God. But then when you get saved, we would call it, when we become a Christian, when we become a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, something else happens. We positionally go from someone who's we're never on our own because God's following us even when he's drawing our hearts even when we're running away from him. But when we say yes, when we yield, when we accept Christ, when we come under the lordship of Jesus, we now become in Christ. There's a whole set of promises that are only for the people in Christ. And so a lot of people want to apply all these wonderful things. Now, I'm not saying that God, there isn't this common grace and God isn't gracious to people regardless. That's true. But I want you, right now I'm not talking to the people that aren't surrendered to Jesus. I'm talking to Christ followers. You have an entire set of promises that are just for you. And if you are in Christ, you now have legal access to a set of promises that people under common grace that still experience the grace of God do not have legal access to. Are you with me? We're just doing a little bit of lawyer work here this morning. You have legal access to the promises of God when you are in Christ. That's why it is so important, because your eternal future depends on it, right? So we want to be in Christ, but at the same time, it's not just to get to heaven. It's to experience the fullness of God here on earth. And all of the promises of God are going to come to pass in our life if we press into them. We now have legal access to it. It doesn't mean they automatically show up. There's some common grace and there's some good Christ grace of God that, like, we don't always know God's ways. They're unsearchable. Amen? But we teach from what the Word of God reveals to us, with the caveat that God is God and he still goes outside of what our minds can come up with sometimes. But here's what we need to know, that in Christ they are yes. Okay, yes. All right, yes, yay, yes. What does that mean? Actually, the Greek word is nay, which we would use for no, but it's that N-A-I. The Greek part of this is from the Strong's Lexicon. Man, you can't get any more hardcore Bible lexicon than Strong's Lexicon. Right there, it says, the Greek particle nay, yes, is used to express strong affirmation or agreement. It is often translated truly or indeed or yes. This particle is used to emphasize the certainty or truthfulness of a statement. Hold on now a second. Yes isn't just yes. This word nay is yes. It's unequivocally yes. It's when you're hanging up. So if you've had steak and lobster and potatoes, and we're reaching the end, and we're like, whew. And someone says, do you want dessert? You're like, yes. But you're full. That's a yes. Are you going to go to work tomorrow? Yes. And I hope that you're energized about it, but a lot of people are weary. Like, yes. That's a yes. That means yes. That's different than a yes. We just have one word for that. That's different than a yes when you have fallen off a cliff and your pinky is hanging on to a little tree twig and the roots are coming out and you're going to fall 300 feet to your death. And someone says, do you want a hand up? Yes! There's a pronounced emphaticness to that yes. This yes, this that is used in the Greek here, is more of that kind of yes. For sure, truthfully, I want to be pulled up. There's no doubt in my mind, yes. There's no shadow of turning. There's no maybe. Pull me up now. Yes, I want to be pulled up. Yes. That's the kind of yes that's in the Greek here. So all the promises of God aren't just, yeah. They're the other one. They're emphatically yes for you. They are unequivocally yes for you. Now, a lot of you are in Christ, and you're like, no, well, the promises of God, they're kind of for those other. No. Positionally, when you are in Christ, you now have access to every one of the promises of God, and they all come up with a different number, 3,000 or 4,000 or 7,000 or 9,000, whatever. But in the Bible, there's more than you can put into practice this year if you do one promise every single day, right? You can do 2 or 3 or 5 or 7 or 10 a day and still not run out of promises of God to apply to your life. They're yes, and they're for you. They're yes, and they're for you. It's not just super Christians like Justin, right? Not just heroes of the faith, right? It's for everyone who is in Christ. Oh, that was the previous slide. I was looking at the verse. It's not up there anymore. Strong's lexicon goes on to say this. Oh, that's what I was going to point out on this one. I forgot about that. That it's this word nigh is used to affirm a preceding statement. What's the preceding statement? It's whatever promise of God is yes. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise of God. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, I just feel like God's really distant. That's okay. Those are your feelings. But what is the promise of God to you? Yes! He's never, you have access to that. You legally have access that God is never going to leave. He's never going to forsake. He's always going to be close. God is never far off for you. Yes. Don't wonder about it. Don't worry about it. It's not yet. Yes. It's yes. It's yes. Say yes. Yes. Ooh, that was good. Yes. That's the kind of yes for every single promise of God for those who are in Christ. If you're just someone who goes to church once in a while, good for you, but sorry. You need to be in Christ. You need to surrender your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you now have access. Why would you not want to? Why go to church to just be a little bit better? Get all in with Jesus. Surrender your heart and open up the promises of God to your life and see the Lord work and move in profound ways because it is yes. So it's going to affirm that preceding statement. Say, I will never leave you or forsake you. That yes affirms that. Affirms that preceding statement. So now it goes on to say this. In ancient Greek culture, the use of particles like nigh or yes was common in both written and spoken language to convey emphasis and certainty. Ooh, I like that. Certainty. For sureness. The promises of God are full of for sureness. Right? Are you with me? They're certain. They're for sure. They're solid. They're yes. In the context of the New Testament, it would have been understood by the Greek-speaking audiences as a strong affirmation, reinforcing the truth of the message being conveyed. Yes, that's true. Yes. Yes, that's going to happen. Yes, what you're saying is right. Yes. Yes. And it's for you. Every promise of God, if you're in Christ, is yes for you. You can walk away, right? We could close the book and you could walk away, walk out of here today, and forgive me if I have not been emphatic enough. I think that you're not sleeping. So if you don't walk out of here today knowing that the promises of God are yes for you, then I've failed. Help me to do better. I don't know. Write me a note. Tell me how I can say it differently. But they are yes for you. If you're in Christ, every promise that's in the Word of God is for you. The promises of God are yes for you in Christ. Amen? You with me? Okay. And amen is also something you just say in church. Kind of. So the second part of this, and so through him, through who? Through Jesus. Yeah, through Christ. So through him, so through Christ. So in him, we get all these promises. And then through him, the amen is actually spoken by us. Okay, I don't know what that means, right? And for years, I would literally do that. I would find a promise of God in Scripture, and I would know it's yes for me, and I'd say, and this is not wrong, and I would encourage you to do this. And I've done this for years. God, this is a promise in your word. I say amen to that. Amen. I say amen to that. That's a good charismatic thing to do, and it's faith-filled, and yeah, Jerry said, I receive that. It's you're saying amen to that. Let's pull this apart a little bit, though. Let's dig in a little bit. What is amen? What is amen? This is from, we're going to go from Strong's Lexicon, right, to Baker's Evangelical Dictionary. Most of you read that when you're in the bathroom. I don't know. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary says, in the current usage, the term amen has become little more than a ritualized conclusion to our prayers. Yet, the Hebrew and Greek words for amen appear hundreds of times in the Bible and have several uses. Goes on to say the verb form occurs more than 100 times in the Old Testament, and it means to take care or to be faithful, reliable, or established, or to believe someone or something. The idea of something that is faithful, reliable, or believable seems to be behind the use of amen as an exclamation on 25 solemn occasions in the Old Testament. Tuvia Pollock, he's a Messianic Jew. He's a Jew who has received Jesus Christ, and so he was writing this, and he said, he was kind of digging into some of the Hebrew stuff from the word amen here. He said all of these Hebrew words actually derive from the same root as amen, same root word. Emunah. Kind of sounds like amen. It means faith, faithfulness, steadfastness. Amana means indeed, correct, for sure, or a contract. Amen is a foster parent. This is someone who contractually decides to love and raise and honor and cherish a child. And neman, meaning faithful. So all these words come from that same well, that same root word that's springing out. And it's all of this that looks like this. The word amen, it means faithful. Amen means that's faithful. It means that's reliable. I can count on that. It means that, this is a good one. It's established. This is established. Huh. That's established. It's not something that might, no, it's like it's rooted. It's there. Or it's to believe someone or something. So when we're saying amen, we're not just putting a punctuation on something, or we've often translated as so be it, which it does mean that. But the root of it is so much deeper, wider, broader, more vibrant than that. It means faithful, reliable, established. So God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's one of the promises of God in the Bible. We say, yes, that's for me. I'm in Christ. That promise is for me. Oh, man, my emotions might be feeling like I'm distraught and I'm lonely and I'm wounded and hurt. And, you know, anyone ever been there? Gosh, you know, how about last Tuesday? Yeah, absolutely. Right? And so I can feel like God's far off. Man, I just pray. I don't feel God's anywhere near. God's like, no, I promised you. And for you, if you're in Christ, it is yes. It's not yeah, it's yes. It is emphatically yes. And so you just go, all right, God, I don't necessarily feel that way, but I know that promise is for me. It's yes for me, that you are close to me. I don't feel like you're close to me, but the promise is, I'm teaching you guys how to be disciples of Christ right now. If you haven't figured that out, we're teaching you how to get rooted, how to be strong in your faith. And I say, I don't feel like you're with me, God, but I know that that promise is yes. So I'm going to say, amen. This is established. You're never leaving me or forsaking me. It's reliable. That statement is reliable. I believe it. I believe you, God. It's rooted into my life because you're faithful. That's what amen is saying in that moment. You're grabbing a hold of that. You're saying amen to it because God is faithful and I believe it. And it's rooted. It's established. It's reliable. I can count on it. I can put my feet on it. It's the word of God to me. That sound good? Yeah. It helps us to not be led by our insides as much, except for the spirit inside of us that's teaching us that these promises of God are yes and amen. Look at this. This is an interesting from the, oh man, Baker's Evangelical Dictionary again. It says, because God is trustworthy, Isaiah can call him, look at this, the God of amen. That's pretty cool. I've never seen this before. This little amen part was going to be a footnote in my message, and we were going to move on. And I got into some of this. I'm like, whoa, hey, I didn't know that. These guys probably already all know all that. But man, just in case they don't, I'm going to tell them, because this was profound for me. I'm like, amen. Oh, it's reliable. It's trustworthy. Because he's trustworthy, Isaiah can call him the God of amen, in whose name his servants should evoke blessings and take oaths. So this is that verse right there, 65:16. So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth. Pastor, not I don't want to be the odd one out in the room here, but thought you said it was the God of amen. I did. It says God of truth. Yeah, but it's God of amen. But it says, when I look at it, the verse you're talking about says the God of amen says the God of truth. What are you trying to tell me? Let me show you a little clip from Blue Letter Bible here. I'm going to show you the words, as the transliterate, because you can't read Hebrew unless I don't know something about you. I can't read Hebrew. But I'm going to show you the Hebrew with the transliteration, with the translated word underneath it. And you'll see what this says, the God of truth, the God of truth. I'm going to show you that part in the Blue Letter Bible by the God of truth. Elohim, amen. That's the Hebrew word. The God of truth is Elohim, amen. If you want to say in Hebrew, if you want to say the God of truth is Elohim, amen. He's the God of amen. He's the God of truth. Amen is truth. It's truth. Elohim, amen. That's his name. We didn't do that one in our five or six names of God. But it's so important that we know who God is. And then they go even further. This one tripped me out. This is more like maybe this is more pastor geek stuff. But I think, I don't know. Hopefully I can convey it to you as excited as was when I saw it. But it says that Jesus' use of amen is the most striking innovation. Jesus introduces his teaching by saying, amen, Lego human. Not Lego like the movie and the toys. But amen, Lego human. That is, truly, you see it there? Truly, amen, truly. Truly, I say to you, go backwards. Hebrew, amen, truth. Jesus says, amen, or our Bibles would say, truly, I say to you. And he says that on nearly 70 occasions in the Bible, in the Gospels. I thought that was super cool. But what I thought was really cool is this next part. Where the prophets, like Old Testament prophets, where they said, thus saith the Lord, Jesus says, amen, I say to you. I was like, whoa, Jesus is like saying, instead of saying, the Lord says, Jesus is saying, amen, I say to you. He's like, he's taking what a prophet would have said. The Lord says this, and Jesus is saying, amen, I say to you. Whoa, just pretend you're excited with me. I was like, that is so cool. He's like, truly. But it's more than just truly. It's like, amen, established truth, reliable, I believe this, it cannot change. Amen, I say to you, instead of saying, thus saith the Lord, because, newsflash, he's the Lord. So he's saying, amen. Now we get to, through Christ, we get to say the amen to the promises of God, to activate them in our lives. Remember this from Exodus, from our Names of God series, Who's God? After he passed, this was Exodus 34, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks on this. After he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, and he passed, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in hesed, covenant love, faithful, true, reliable love, and in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. It's who he is. It's who he is. Let's go back to Tuvia, the Messianic Jew guy, Tuvia Pollock. He says, as we can see, the word amen carries within it not only faith, but certainty and steadfastness. I'm telling you what, guys, if you just hang on for a second. Get this idea of activating the promises of God in your life and coming into agreement with what God says about you. Are you with me? You have a lot of thoughts about you. The world has a lot of thoughts about you. And the devil has a lot of thoughts about you. We are very quick to agree with all three of those. And we are very hesitant to agree with what the Lord says about us. I feel like that's specifically for someone here today. We're very hesitant. We're slow. We don't disagree, but we're slow to agree that this is what God says about me, about my life, for me, about my future, and even about my past, that he's wiped away my sins far as the east is from the west. Come on. So bringing ourselves into agreement steadies our life in a way. It says it helps us participate in the divine nature. We get to be partakers of the nature of God by saying amen. And not just saying amen, but positionally knowing that the promises are yes. And then this heartfelt, steadfast agreement, which is amen. This is truth. It's different when we try to pick at the promises of God and hope they work in our life. It's different when we know they're yes, they are for you, and we agree with our heart saying amen. Amen. This is truth. This is reliable. This is established in my life. Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in the Laodicea, right? These are the words of the amen. Huh. Cool. The faithful and true. Wait a minute. He's the amen. The faithful and true. He's faithful and true. So when we're saying amen to these promises of God, they're faithful and they're true. Am I preaching too loud for the baby? Okay, good. I just thought about that. I'm like, oh no, I better be quiet. Tuvia says this. Listen to this one. This is really good. This is, again, I don't care if this is just a pastor excitement. I'm going to get excited enough for all of us on this one. Listen to this. There's some history for you, some Hebrew history. Amen was used in the time of Jesus in a binding legal way. Woo! You're not quite there yet. You'll get there. And he used that formula to convey spiritual truths about who he is. He is binding himself under an oath that what he says is true. Come on, church. He is binding a legal oath that says, amen, this is true, because it's through him that we say amen. Jesus is binding himself to perform that word of God in your life. Is anyone charismatic today? At least pretend. Hallelujah. I don't care what you are, just be excited. He goes on to say, that term amen itself is rooted in a Semitic word that means truth, and the utterance of amen is acknowledgement that the word that's been heard, this promise that we heard, whether it's a word of praise, a word of prayer, that it's valid, that it's sure, and that it's binding. Listen to this. Even in antiquity, the word amen was used in order to express a pledge to fulfill the terms of the vow. When we say through Christ, amen, we're saying kind of his amen that he's going to fulfill that promise in our life. We're lining up our words to his word in that moment, and we're saying amen. I hope this isn't going over our heads today. I want you to get this. I want you to know that these promises are for you, and we're saying amen, which means this is reliable. This is truthful. I believe who said this, and it's not only truthful, it's established. It's not just, oh, maybe, it's sure in my life, and not only that, it's legally binding. I am saying amen, the same as I would sign my name on the dotted line to a contract. But I'm doing it through Christ, because I don't have any power in me to say, yes, this needs to happen. I do by Christ. I get the promise by Christ, and then I say the legally binding amen through Christ. Oh, cool is that. In some cases, the Torah even commands people to say amen in legal procedures when committing to fulfill something. Hold on. Let me read this again slowly. I want you all to listen to me with your eyeballs. Okay? Lean forward, open your eyes, read along with me. In some cases, the Torah, the Old Testament, even commands people to say amen in legal procedures when committing to fulfill something. All right? Timo, you got a cow? We're just pretending here. Maybe you do really have a cow. You got a cow? I got $40. Is that a kind of going price for a cow these days? Okay. $45. Yep. $4,500. $4,500. Okay, we'll be generous. Temple's a good man. I got $4,500. I'm going to give you $4,500, and you're going to give me that cow. Amen?
Amen.
This was pretend. I don't have $4,500. He doesn't have a cow that I know about.
It was established.
Woo! So that's what that amen would be. It would be as much as me legally signing my name to that contract. That I'm going to fulfill my end of that vow. He's going to fulfill his end of that vow. All right, so we say the amen because we're going to fulfill it. No, we're not going to fulfill it. We say the amen through Christ. Do you get it? Are you with me? It's like Jesus is saying, hold on, I think you'll get this. It's like Jesus is standing there saying, just go ahead and sign my name on that.
That's right.
I'm going to give you legal access to that, and then I'm going to make it binding. Not only do you have the right to it, now it's binding. It's a contract. When you say amen, when you agree with your spirit and heart and mind that the Lord is faithful, that this is established in my life, whatever promise it is, now Jesus is like, just sign my name on that line. Your name doesn't mean anything. And you're wonderful and beautiful, but legally, your name doesn't mean, you can sign your name all you want. You got to sign Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. It's through Christ that we say amen. You get it? Yeah. We're signing his name on the dotted line. He gives us that power of eternity, attorney and power of eternity, by the way, to see that promise of God come to pass in our lives. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Let's just wind down today. Just three promises. I just picked three random promises of God. Let's just read these and let's just see it take place in our life. Here's a promise of God. Where do I find these promises? Crack open the Word of God, man. You're going to find them all over the place. Here's a promise of God. It doesn't start out by, some do, but most of them don't start out by saying, red highlight, this is a promise of God, colon, and then the scripture. You have to search the scripture, and you'll find them. And we know that, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those, certain group of people here, those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. That's a covenant relationship there. That's entering into that one with Jesus Christ when we surrender our lives to him. That's a promise of God. That God, everything, so when we're in the covenant, we get to say, yes, that is true for me. Well, it doesn't look like everything is going to work out for good in my life. It doesn't feel like everything is going to work out for good in my life. It doesn't feel good at all in my life right now. But there's a promise of God. And if I'm in Christ, if I'm surrendered to him, if I'm just giving him the reins of my life every day, I can say, all right, God, I'm in Christ. I'm in you. And I know this promise that you're going to work out everything for good. Sometimes my definition of good is different than yours. Okay, but I know it's yes. Well, is this for me or just for Alana or Aspen or Alan? I know. When any preacher accidentally alliterates, that's pretty impressive. Just gonna say, it's the power of Christ in me right now. I'm just being funny, but there is power of Christ in me. But we don't feel like this is working, but we know that in Christ, for me, it's yes. Not only yeah, it's resounding yes, unequivocally yes, for sure yes, legally yes. And then I say, all right, God, amen. I'm going to read that. I'm going to go, God, this is your promise to me. Amen. Lord, I know it's reliable. It's established in my life. It's happening right now. No matter my feelings, no matter what I see around me, what I do see is your promise to me. Amen. Amen. And you agree with that. And you sign Jesus' name to the covenant that says that he is never, that he's creating all of this to work out for your good. Oh, wow. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. See, there's that covenant part of it again. Submit to him. Surrender to him. And he will make your paths straight. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should pick this job or that job. I don't know if I should go here or there. I don't know if I should marry this person or that person. I don't know if I should send my kid to this college or that college. I don't know what I should do. I don't know. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling in that area. I'm confused in this area. But your word, God, your word says if I trust in you, if I lean into you, if I say, God, you're the one in all of my heart and I lean not on my own thinking, but in all of my ways, Lord, if there's any ways in my life that aren't surrendered to you, help me to see them, and I surrender them now, then here's your promise. You're going to make my paths straight. That promise is yes. God, I say amen to that. I say amen. Amen. I say amen to that. It's established. It's faithful. It's rooted in my life, and I say amen. I'm signing Jesus' name on the dotted line of that promise for my life. You are making my path straight. Jesus, I said amen to that. And I didn't just say amen to that. I said amen with the full knowledge of knowing what that means, that I am now, Jesus is now legally bound to produce that in my life by his words, not because I'm just following his principle. I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. Last one, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In where? In Christ Jesus. Here's this covenant thing. If I'm in Christ, if I'm following Christ, not just if I'm a good person or I go to church 3 times a year, like just if I'm in Christ, if you're in Christ, if you're surrendered to Jesus, this promise is now on the menu. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Flipping through what you want to order next, this one's on there. My God will supply all of your needs according to your goodness, according to your checkbook, according to your wisdom, according to your giftings, according to his riches in glory, oh, in Christ Jesus. So is this promise yes for you? Yes. If you are in Christ, this promise is yes for me. Now I look at that promise. I meditate on it. I absorb it. I sit in my bedroom or at the altar here or in my church or in my office. And I go, God, this is a promise that you made. And I'm in Christ. I surrender my life freely, wholeheartedly. All that I am, let all my ways be pleasing to you. Full in. Now that you said that you're going to supply for me out of your riches and glory. And Jesus, I say, amen. It is true. It is established. And Jesus, I'm signing your name on the legal contract that you're going to fulfill that in my life. I don't have any power or anything to do with this. It's all you because I'm in Christ. And I'm saying the amen through Christ that you're going to fulfill what you promised. Amen. How cool is that? Amen. That's it. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Now, I hope I gave you a little bit of theology and theory, and I hope I just dabbled a little bit on giving you some actual practice for that. Hopefully you can, it wasn't heavy on practice, but hopefully you can start going through your Bible and see that there's promises that are for you. If you're in Christ, they're yours. And we legally can say, Jesus, I just claim this for my life. Help me to be fully surrendered, to be fully in Christ, to not be making silly mistakes that are sabotaging my life. And here's the promise. And here's another promise. Amen. Here's another promise. God, I say amen to this. And you apply that word of God to your life and watch your insides change. Watch you begin to participate in the divine nature of God. And you start to become, as Stephen said last week, more patient. You start to become more loving. You start to become more holy. Not because you're grunting and groaning and trying harder, because you're believing the promises of God and you're starting to participate in his divine nature. You're starting to become like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's good stuff. I don't care. It's good stuff. I like it. Love you guys, and let's just pray. God, I just thank you for this beautiful group of believers, Lord, who have gathered here today to see your promises fulfilled in their lives, who've gathered here today in expectancy that you're changing them into the image of Christ, who've gathered here today rejecting the old, embracing the new. Lord, seeing the old man die and the new man live, we thank you, God, that every man, woman, and child is encountering Jesus in this place today. And we, God, we thank you for the divine plans that you have for us. Thank you that every one of your promises are not only yes, but we get to say Jesus's amen through him. And we thank you, God, for that authority that you've given us, and we help us to use it wisely and often in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew, amen.